Blog Talk Radio.
One of your hosts, and it's a pleasure to be back with you guys. I know we were gone last week. Shannon was down under the weather. She's still not to her full self yet, but she's getting there. So, Shannon.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. I sound a little sicky. That's because I am, but I'm hanging in there. Shalom, shalom. Good to be on.
Yeah, it's like quite a few people are under the weather. What I'm going to do, if you're still up to it, Shannon, because I think I'm having equipment problems, go ahead and have you explain you give our mission statement, whatever we call it. So I'm going to switch out some things right quick to see if I get any better results. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to mute myself in the process.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone, to Hey, Did You Know? And I'm just going to go over a few of the terms that you might hear us use. Hopefully you can hear me clearly. So on the show, we like to use the original Hebrew names and terms as much as we can. So if you hear us say Yahuwah or Yahweh, that is the name of our Creator, the Most High. And when you see capital L-O-R-D in your Bibles, the translators put those letters there instead of Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is our Creator's name. And so, again, if you hear us say Yahweh or Yahuwah, that's who we're referring to. If you hear us say Yeshua or Yehoshua, we are referring to who you would read in your Bible, the name Jesus. For some reason, the translators chose to change his name. But when you say his true name, Yehoshua, it means Yah is our salvation. So every time you say his name, you're proclaiming that Yah is our salvation. So we like to say his name, and that's the name that his mother and brothers and disciples have called him, his friends. So that's why we use that. You might hear us say Ruach HaKodesh, which is the set-apart spirit. You might read that as Holy Spirit in your scriptures. But we say set-apart spirit or Ruach HaKodesh. We never say Holy Ghost because a ghost is something dead, and that's not what we're, proclaiming. You might hear the word Torah, and that word is the heart of the Father. It is the first five books in your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and so if you hear us use the word Torah, that's what we're referring to. If you hear the word Tanakh, we are referring to the entire older Testament. And if you hear Hadashah, that means new covenant or renewed covenant, what you would read as the Testament. And I think that might be about it. You might hear, Elohim. If you hear that, that is what you would typically read as G-O-D in your scriptures. But the proper name would be Elohim. And I think that's about it. Now, I am hearing static. I believe the chat room is open, so if you can hear us clearly, or if you can't, do please go to the chat room and just let us know. And there's some very interesting things happening that are coming up. We have our feast days coming up. And before we get into that, I'm just going to go ahead and pray, have a quick prayer while things are being worked out as well. I pray you are with us now and that you speak through us and soften our hearts and the hearts of our listeners. Be with those who need your healing. Be with those who need your deliverance. Be with those who need financial help, Father. We ask that you allow us to be a light. Be a light through us, Father, and be with this show today. We thank you for allowing us to be on the air and for our guests that we're going to have today. Thank you so much, Father. In Yeshua's name, I pray. Hallelujah. And may it be so.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so am I clearer or am I still staticky?
You might be a little bit clearer for others. For me, you're a little bit muffled. I did hear static, but I wasn't sure if that was you or not. But I don't hear the static so much anymore.
Okay, I can hear some static going on myself. But that might not be us. That might be in the system.
Okay.
But anyway, we're going to go ahead and first, before we start, let's introduce our guest. You want to introduce our guest?
We have you to introduce our guest. Our guest is a fine young man who has a love for Yah and his Torah and has been sorry about that and has been favored with insight and just given when given the opportunity to share, the Father has just really favored him. And so, without further ado, this young man is 16 years old. He is a working young man, and he is new to Idaho. He's almost 6 months in, and he's been a good wood chopper and helper and insightful with Enoch and Jubilees as well as Torah. So without further ado, we will introduce Sir Dawson Mellon.
Hey, everybody. Shalom, shalom.
Yay. Welcome, Dawson. It's a pleasure to have you on again. It's been a while.
It has been a while, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today. How about you?
I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited. Yes. Because one of our topics is something we should know that don't too many people discuss. And we think it's time that we talk about it. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk about that.
Yeah.
So before we get started,
go ahead.
I know, everybody knows, I call Cheryl Mama Cheryl. And Mama Cheryl, I know you've been tracking the sun, right, with like a sundial that you have and that you made, and it's there at your house, right?
Yes.
How's that going, and how's that working out?
It's pretty good. Okay, and for those of you who don't know what it means, what I am doing is I am tracking the equinox for the calendar, because we do, kind of follow that calendar. Some people call it the Enoch calendar. Some people call it the Dothan calendar. And some people even call it the Melchizedek calendar. And I have been tracking, I started this morning tracking, for the equinox, but today wasn't the equinox. Because there are people who actually believe that today starts the equinox.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. They said they believe that the new year started on March 17th. And so I said, well, I'm going to start tracking early to see if that's so. And it didn't take long to realize that it wasn't, because when you do that, you're trying to get a straight line, you know, when you do it. But the line that's supposed to be straight started bending right away. So I knew right away, you know, this is not the equinox. So, yeah. But I'm enjoying myself doing it, because they said that the equinox is on the 20th of this month. But I wanted to track it myself just to make sure, you know, because the Father, when men get too cocky, the Father has a way of putting us in our place. So instead of being lazy, depending on other people to say, oh, well, yes, 20th, I wanted to do it for myself and for us, you know, so we can see when it really is. Because it's important to know when the equinox is, so the next day starts the new year, we have the right day.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm curious to see if it... Are we on?
Yeah, we're here. We're still here.
Okay. So I'm curious to see if it... When, if it is going to be Friday, if it's going to be Wednesday, or, you know, forgive me, everybody, for saying those days, but you guys know what I mean. So if it's going to be the fourth day or the sixth day, or how all that's going to work out, and if the day counts over and all that stuff. Anyway, I am very interested to hear about your findings, and hopefully you vlog, you video that so we can take a look at and see.
Yeah, I just put one up about today. Tomorrow I'll be more in depth and actually, you know, vlog the actual top of the table. I didn't actually vlog, you know, I went out and said a few things about it, but, you know, but I basically was showing people how to also find true north, because in order to set up your table, I call it a table, it's just a piece of paper with a stick in it that you know. But in order to do that, you have to know what true north is. And a lot of people get intimidated because, you know, first you got to learn that true north is different from magnetic north, okay? And you guys know I have no sense of direction, but I didn't learn that much. Okay, and how you can actually find true north and how simple it is, you know. So I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to make you go watch the video. I'll be putting that up and after we get done. But, I can go ahead and explain for people, you know. True north is, what you do is you take a stick, a straight stick, and you stick it in the ground. And then wherever, making sure you have enough sunlight where the shadow, you know, you get a shadow of the stick. And wherever the end of the shadow is, you place a marker there, like a rock or a can or whatever. And then you wait 30 minutes, and then you track where the shadow of the stick is again, then you put another marker. Now, the first marker you put down is your west. It's your west. And then the second marker is your east. So in between there, going in straight in front of you, would be your true north. And behind you is south. So you just make, you know, that cross, like the compass, and you just look straight ahead, and you have your true north. Very simple. And then you just place your, whatever you know, your paper, your whatever you're using to make as your tracker, you just put it in that spot, you know, with the arrow facing north. And that's it. Very easy.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you actually can do it there if you can find a place where the sun is shining all day.
Well, where we are now, we don't have a many trees.
Too many trees, huh?
We have so many trees that we don't have like an open field where we can go and do it. And now it's cloudy. It's going to be cloudy for a few days and then only sunny for like three and then cloudy again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we definitely get a lot of cloudy days up here.
Yeah. Yes, we just get over hot weather, 90-degree weather. Yeah. Before spring, it was really hot. Hot, hot, hot. Yeah, anyway, that's what I've been doing. And like I said, I'm going to be vlogging it. I just finished rendering the video, and I will put it up as soon as we're done here. And so, now we can get on to our topic. But first, before we do that, let's take a quick break, okay? Then we can get right into our topic and just go right through it, okay? All right, here we go.
Shalom, Yisrael. I would like to introduce you to HebrewMarketplace.com, a business directory for Hebrew Israelites across the globe. This is a platform for us to find and support each other in our endeavors. If you have a product or a service that you offer that you would like to present to your Hebrew family, I invite you to get listed at HebrewMarketplace.com. You can post your business information, pictures, and a video link in your listing. There's also a space to post your events here for free. Come by and visit the site often to see new listings and support our brothers and sisters in their endeavors. And remember to share this site and the listings that you find here with others. Shalom.
Father is all about numbers. Numbers are as important to Father as they are the workings of a computer. A computer could not work without numbers. And with numbers, Father brings hidden meanings to Scripture. For Yeshua said in John 5:39 that the Scriptures testified about Him. Psalms 40 verse 7 and Hebrews 10 verse 7 proclaims, "Behold, I come in the volume of the scroll. It is written about me." We are all very familiar with fulfilled prophecy concerning the Messiah. But what about the significance of numbers used in Scripture? For instance, when the number 1 is used, it refers to unity. So when Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Yahweh is one," the number 1 means unified. For Yeshua said that He and the Father are one, meaning two parts unified together as one. The number 2 in Scripture signifies separation, division, or difference, and implies to set apart or divide, as in Genesis 1:5, when the night was divided from the day. The number 3 in Scripture means completion or perfection, and can also signify life or resurrection. It was the third day in Genesis 1:9 that both the dry ground was created and rose up from the water, and all the plants rose up from dry seeds in the earth to living vegetation, both being a type and foreshadow of perfect completion and resurrection. Concerning Moses in Exodus 2, it was after 3 months that his mother sealed him in a basket in the Nile, symbolic of death, and resurrection when Pharaoh's daughter found him. It was on the third day that the Messiah was resurrected to new life and fulfilled his prophecy in Matthew 12, that just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man would be in the belly of the earth. Why wouldn't Father choose 2 days? It's because Father is speaking to us hidden messages every time numbers are used. And whether they're single digits or zeros added, the meanings are the same. I'm Bill Sanford with a Torah thought for the day.
Torah, Torah, Amen. Torah, Torah, Amen. Tudaya.
All right, we're back from our break, and that song is called Yahuwah Thank You, and that's by Yehonatan Yisrael. Yisrael. Sorry about that. Yisrael. I know that word. I don't know why I messed it up. Anyway, we're coming and we're going to have a great discussion with Dawson. And what we're going to be discussing is male modesty from a young man's point of view. A lot of people talk about modesty, that but they talk about it in the towards women. But there's a such thing as modesty for men, too. And so we're going to let Dawson give us his opinion and tell us what he thinks on modesty. So, Dawson.
Hey, yeah. Shalom.
Yeah. So, you know, so, we want you to, you know, give us your opinion and just go ahead and talk and give us your point of view on what you think and how you feel about male modesty.
Well, that's a very good question. Again, it's like I remember listening to when you guys did the modesty study a few weeks ago, and so I noticed that you aim some things for guys too, but especially for men, from what I'm seeing from just being around, even in the Hebrew Roots movement, that the guys can sometimes be even less modest than the women. I mean, modesty isn't just how a person dresses, although sometimes they just dress horribly, but it's also attitude, how you talk, how you hold yourself, how you think, how you act, like in private and in public when no one can see you and when the whole world can see you. And so with me, modesty comes down to, like, we have the basics, dress code. That's the very basics. Once you get that down, it's easier to build upon that. It's one of my personal beliefs that a change of clothes, like some nice clothes, can change a person's attitude. That I've experienced for that for myself, and I know plenty of other people that have. So when it comes to when it comes to a guy being modest, it's more, it's basically becoming more of a gentleman than a child, basically. It's a difference between a man and a boy. A boy could be someone in their teens to, mid-50s. I mean, to me, but someone who acts right, treats themselves right, dresses nicely, does these certain different things, can be considered a man, in my opinion, because it's their attitude, it's their behavior. So I think a perfect place to start with is dress code.
Yeah.
It's like,
while I still have it on my mind, I want to ask you a question, and also, this is for Dawson and you all from Shannon. What do you guys think about guys wearing skinny jeans?
Huh?
What do you think about guys wearing skinny jeans?
Okay, so I was on Facebook a few weeks ago, and I saw this little picture, and the picture said, and it's a horrible thought that America has the world's highest obesity rate, yet is the epicenter of the fad for skinny jeans. that's just kind of disturbing for me. It's like, why? I mean, with me, I don't wear skinny jeans. It's like, in my entire life, I only wore one pair, and that's because they were got an accident. And only time I will ever wear them is around the house. I'll not walk out in public with them. I won't. It's just, oh my gosh. No, there is no part of any clothing, men's or women, that should show every detail of the waist down. That to me is just unacceptable, and it's ugly. I mean, no matter how good you think you look in those, no matter what excuse you could possibly come up with, there is no exception for that. I mean, that's just
Let me if something you, add. Let me add that it's a mentality, and it is a social type mentality and status that we've been given from, which might sound weird, but we know that media, whoever's in control of the media controls the world, basically. So they tell you how to dress and what to do. And here's what's going on, okay? And this just hit me last week, and if you're friends with me on Facebook, you might have seen my post. But back in the days of slavery, when people were kidnapped and taken and sold to others, they would strip them naked so that those who were going to buy them would see what they were getting. And it happens today because there are there's human trafficking that happens today. And it's not just, you know, Hebrews or with people of color. It is with anybody, actually, nowadays, boys and girls, and they take them and they make them wear clothes that are revealing so that the buyers could see what they're purchasing. And nowadays, we've done that to ourselves. We don't need anybody to do it for us. We wear clothes that are so tight, showing everything we have, so that someone else can tell us how good we look. So that someone else can say, oh, I like that, and I want that, or I want to be like that, or I want to date her or date him. I want to marry, or I want to have this or have that. It's the same mentality that they, except now we in this world do it with a smile on our faces. We are not supposed to show everything we have to only one person, and that's our spouse. That's it, not the world. We're not supposed to be flaunting or showing off as if we're merchandise to be purchased, especially if we are set apart people. So,
right, that's so true. That is so true.
Yeah.
And so let me just say to anyone who's listening, if you have, this goes for adults, grandmothers, grandfathers, men, women, those who have children, may I please encourage you, if you have any pictures, especially posted up on a social media site that shows anything that is tight or revealing or above the knee or show the crease in your bosoms or the, you know, outline of your chest, your midriff, your nice, good-looking arms and whatever else you have that may look great, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if it's showing that you're supposed to be a set-apart person, let me encourage you to look and live set-apart. And take those things down. You never know what maniac is looking at it and doing whatever with it. And we represent our Creator. And if we represent Him, we need to represent Him right. And to look set apart and not like we look of this world. And once again, we have another one of Shannon's rants. Apparently it's happening every show now.
No. Yeah, it's like that makes total sense. It's like, to me, I like to put it in this fashion. It's like, since I'm not married, my business is my business, no one else's. And then when I get married, it's her business, no one else's. The only other person that has any entitlement to my body is the one who made it, and that's it. And so it's just wanting to live that lifestyle. Again, like you were talking about how the world says, if the media says, oh, this is the way something should be, that, and we just follow along with it. That's the part of the mentality thing I was talking about. That was part about the attitude. It's like, we do not follow that world. Messiah said we are not supposed to be of the world. But yet, as soon as we see whoever famous person walking around on TV with some trashy outfit, instantly we're like, ooh, I want that. How much is it? It's like, oh, that's really nice. I mean, when I go to work, and I work with people that are not observant to these things. They're not observant to Torah. They're not obedient to the Father. And I see them doing the exact same thing, these exact same admiring these people, liking the way that they're wanting to be like them, wanting to wear all these horrible clothes. I work around that. And they're doing and I see believers doing the exact same things as they do. So to me, that kind of says that something's wrong. I mean, personally. And so me, it's like when I say how someone should dress, I'm not saying somebody needs to dress like me, always wearing a button-up shirt, buttoned all the way to the top with a bow tie and nice hat and clothes. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need to be able to look nice. I mean, last time I checked, I always think of it this way, especially in my case. I'm the son of the great king of the universe who made everything. Why am I going to go outside not looking like I'm a prince in his kingdom? It's like, if you look back in history, how many princes walked outside dressed in just completely horrible things?
Looking like ragamuffins?
Huh? Dressed like ragamuffins, exactly. There's no reason to look like a ragamuffin. So the thing is, like, a ragamuffin is like, you can call me anything you want, but you cannot call me a ragamuffin. So do you not see the tie? I mean, it's like, I literally wear a button-up shirt every day, and some nights I actually have a pajama button-up shirt. This is almost like a normal button-up shirt that I wear to bed.
So something to keep in mind for people out there listening is, you know, we just have to be mindful, and it's time for us to walk in our identity of who we are. And like Dawson was sharing, I just like the word ragamuffin, and I look for any opportunity to use it. So, but still, like he was saying, we shouldn't, we have to walk in our identity, but that identity, we can't mix the world with what is set apart. We have to be careful with that, because I know we've grown up in different churches where you still want to dress and look sexy in church. And let me just say, we must not even use that word in public. And by that I mean, that word means for someone to want you in a sexual way. So, that even saying, oh, I want to look sexy, or my spouse is sexy, or this or that is sexy, is just not what should be said from us in public. You can tell your spouse that, sure. And, like Dawson was saying, he mentioned marriage. So say a person is not married yet. Just because you are not married yet doesn't mean you don't have a spouse. Your spouse just hasn't arrived yet. And the Father is getting both.
That is so true. That is true.
You have a spouse. They're just not with you at the moment. And so you represent them as well as our Most High when we are out in public. And we should not want anyone else to see what belongs to our spouse. So,
I mean,
things to keep in mind.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
I want to say this right quick.
Let me say, I know we are, this is about male modesty, but I want to throw this in there too, as far as, as women, how we dress and how we carry ourselves, just like men should be wearing skinny jeans. It is inappropriate to me. to see a woman who calls herself a believer in Yah to walk out and what we call them things we wear under our skirts, those and then help me out here.
You're talking about booty shorts, hooker jeans, which one?
No, I'm talking about the, okay, we wear long skirts, but we also wear, oh my gosh, my mind went blank, under our skirts.
Oh, leggings.
Yeah, leggings, there you go. I couldn't think of that word for nothing in the world. And they wear these leggings out, you know, in public, and I mean, you're supposed to be of the Most High. Now, I just look at that like you talk about the skinny jeans, but, you know, we are, you know, like Dawson was saying, like you said, we are children of the Most High. I am a daughter of the Most High. He, my father, is a king. I shouldn't look a certain way when I step outside to make him proud. I should never, ever bring embarrassment up on my father or my family. You know, my mishpachah. I should always have him first and foremost, and then my spouse, then my family. You know, you never go out looking like, you know, like I said, when you walk out, the guy down the street is going to lick you up from head to toe, if you some kind of popsicle or something. Okay. I just had to get my money in.
And really, if you think about it, the way that it's promoted, like what looks nice, what is dressed, it's really trying to take someone's identity. It's back in ancient times, a way person dressed, someone could instantly tell what class they were in. The way someone, like if they had a nice robe on, you could tell, oh, that guy's probably royalty. But if they had like just a shirt on, what would be the equivalent of a t-shirt on? It's like, that guy's probably not too wealthy. That guy's probably poor, struggling for a living. It's one of those things where it's like an identity crisis, trying to take away from what we're supposed to be. If we're supposed to be like princesses and prince and show off the glory of our father, what a better way to mess that up than to say, you don't have to look like that. Or this is what is attractive now. Or you need to do what this is that to do whatever. It's really not. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, were you finished?
Yeah, basically.
Well, I wanted to add to what you were saying, Dawson, earlier. It's not just about what is on the outside, although that does matter. It is what is on the inside as well, you know. You have to be a respectable person. Most people think, you know, oh, I don't care what anybody says or thinks. I'm just going to be who I am, and I just want to live how I'm living, and you better accept it or else, and all this stuff. And you know what? That's not true. Okay, right? Because if you go on a job interview, you're not being yourself, are you? You know, so please, that phrase kind of gets on my nerves. We represent people. You cannot just go out and just say, I am going to just be who I am. Because who we are without the Father is not the right place where we need to be. We have to represent the Father properly if we are going to be a part of Him, just like we want all of our family and friends, or not friends, family and children, to represent when they leave our house. I know I always tell my sons, you represent Yah and you represent this family, so you make sure you represent us right. Okay, I better not hear anything inappropriate at all or else. They know this. So it's not just about the outward appearance, but it is also the inward appearance of modesty. You know, don't be flirty. Don't lead people on. Don't have wanting eyes and don't have a haughty look. And be loving and caring and show people the love of the Most High. And show that you care for one another. I don't want my friend's husband to look at me differently because I'm dressed scantily clad, or, you know, my shirt keeps falling down, or my skirt is too high, I have to keep pulling it down, or I don't want my friend's husband working out and walking in front of me all big and buff or whatever, even if he has a fat belly. I don't want to see it. That's for her to see, and I, you know, and for my husband to see, and vice versa. So it can have that inner glow of the Father, because when we show ourselves, that is taking away from His light. His light shines through us when we have a modest dress on the outside, but modest on the inside as well, with His love shining through.
Yeah. Okay, right there, guys. We're going to take another quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Shalom, Ms. Bakar. You are listening to the Set Apart Living Radio Network here at KSAL.
Hear, O Yisra'el, can you hear the call? Yahuwah, your Elohim, is one. Hear, O Yisra'el, can you hear the call? Yahuwah, your Elohim, is one. And you shall love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your being. Love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your being. Love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your being. You shall love, 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 love. You shall love, 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 love. Hearing God to do, that it might be well. Yahuwah has commanded you. Hear God to do, that it might be well with you. God, the Lord, that Yahuwah has commanded you. And you shall love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your being. Love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your being. Love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your being. You shall love, 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 you shall love, 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 love. Bind these words as a sign on your hand and between your eyes. Speak these words when you lie down and when you arise. Bind these words as a sign on your hand and between your eyes. Speak these words when you lie down and when you arise. And you shall love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your being. Love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your being. Love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your being. You shall love, 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 love. You shall love, 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 love. You shall love, 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 love. You shall love, 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 love.
All right, we're back from our break, and that was You Feel Love by Hadar Bat Yah, and we were talking about male modesty. And I wanted to piggyback on something Shannon was saying, that both you and Dawson, I think, said it, that it starts from the inside. Because a lot of times you know a person's inside will reflect their outside. You know, so.
And another thing with modesty is attitude, as Mom brought up right before the last break, not having haughty look, not being flirtatious, so on and so forth, but it's also the small things, it's like the details of things. People will often overlook all the details and just skip those, when those are important too. like swearing. Like, there's no real reason to swear. If you're that angry, just yell carrot. I mean, there's no reason to just drop the F word in every single sentence. Like, I went to public school till the sixth grade. They swore enough to make a sailor blush. Okay, it was horrible. And when I started looking around, no matter where you go, people are just swearing all over the place. It's like, is there any real need to do that? Something good just happened. I mean, it's just stuff like that. There's no need for it. If you're that angry, pray through it. There's no real need for stuff like that. And it's really cutting back on the stuff that is not needed. Profanities, these horrible jokes. A person needs to, we need to start understanding these things. Like, no, it's not okay to swear. Well, I don't see a commandment in there. Do you really have to? I mean, really, you're saying bad words out loud. You're screaming them across the place. You know they're bad words. I don't think anyone needs to tell you that it's bad. And if you really want to come down to it, I do believe I know where a scripture is that says don't use bad words. Actually, I don't think I'm going to find that right now. Give me a moment.
Yeah, okay. But it is. It's all about attitude. It's all about the way you carry yourself. And it's all about it's the inward part of you that reflects the outward of you, because there's a lot of people who walk around, and like Dawson said, I don't give a damn what nobody thinks. You know, like, I'll say myself, I don't really care what anybody thinks about me, but I'm not going to swear. I'm not going to disrespect anybody, you know, just, you know, outright and say something nasty or say a nasty word. But, I understand where Dawson is coming from.
And what I'm saying, too, about that, it's like, I think, you know, on one hand, I do get, you know, people could either like me or not like me. I'm going to be who I am. However, if you are mean, you know, and just, you know, but you're supposed to be a believer and you treat people badly, you should care. You should care about, you know, because you are representing in every way the Father. Mm-hmm. Same here. Same for me. And so when it comes to representing him, if someone mm-hmm. says, you're a believer, I would have never thought you were, then mm-hmm. I need to care
yeah.
about people. Oh,
yeah.
You did that?
Yeah.
Ooh. I didn't know. Believers, I didn't know they did that. So maybe we should
yeah.
care.
Yeah.
By the way, I found that scripture.
Okay, read it.
Okay, it is, I found a bunch of scriptures, actually. But first one is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may be given, that it may give grace to those who hear. And then another one is, hold on, print it small. Let's see. Oh, my gosh, I lost my place. Hold on.
Okay, give me a minute to find it. Yeah,
sadly, I don't have a phone as big as my mother's, so...
Well, if you find one, if you don't find the other one, don't worry about it.
You did find one. And that's the most important thing. You know, because you know if that one's in there, we know other ones are in there.
Exactly.
It looks like we have about 8 more minutes of the show for tonight. I wanted to know if we could touch on a couple of different things.
Sure, go right
ahead. But what in the world? Okay, that's a spider. Okay, sorry. There's a spider. Okay, so the spring feasts are coming up very soon and very quickly. And if you're a new listener, you know, they are Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, and then 50 days later is Shavuot, which is the Feast of Pentecost. And it's time to get ready for Passover. For Passover, we get rid of all of the leavening agents in our homes, and we prepare for that. We go through our cupboards if we can, you know, if you live in a house where you can do that. And some people, the remedy is if you live in a home where you share with those who are not Torah observant, then you can, you know, get your own section of the cupboard and just have your own section to be, you know, clean and without leaven. And then that way you don't really have, you know, you could still follow the instruction and still, you know, clean out and get a lesson in all of that. And so then there's different recipes we have and we could use to cook so we can have tasty treats during the week of unleavened bread, but we actually don't eat any bread unless it has the leaven in it. And what do you guys typically do during the time? Because we only have a couple of more weeks, right?
Right. Yeah, time is winding, you know. No, I won't say winding down. I say time is going up. Because we read it up. Yeah, most people, they make their own unleavened bread, and so they don't have to buy, because a lot of people, did the spider get you?
Sorry, I tried to mute it. Yes, I'm sorry, everybody. I will mute you now and try to find it and kill it. Continue.
Okay. All right, Dawson, you said you found the verse. Read it for me.
Okay. The verse is, it is Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth.
Yes.
I know quite a few people that need to read that.
Yeah. I don't even see it.
Yeah, but again, back to these days. I remember you were talking about the sundial for the Enoch calendar.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys talked about the Enoch calendar on the show at all before.
No, but that's something we can discuss. You know, as a matter of fact, that's probably something I could discuss in the morning on my show. But no, to make the sundial, I call it a table because it's flat. But it's simple to do. It's very easy to do. And like I said, on the video idea that people can do this with homeschoolers. You know, they can take their children who home, you know, that they homeschool, and they can go outside and set this thing up and you know, do it. So yeah, it's really, really easy to do.
I can't wait to see the vlogs about it. Shameful plug. Go check out Set Apart Living on YouTube. So you can see us go. We're going to be posting vlogs up. You get to see what we're doing out here in Idaho, and you get to see what Grandma Cheryl's doing in California.
Yeah, where are my videos, bud?
I'm uploading them right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, but for those who don't know, the Enoch calendar is something that's based off of, as most people probably heard of, the Book of Enoch. When you get towards around chapter 64 onwards to about chapter 80 in the Book of Enoch, he starts talking about the luminaries. And so when you get around chapter 71, he spends the whole entire chapter, one of the longest chapters in the entire book, talking about the route that the sun takes. And then after he concludes all of these days, he says, and the days of the sun constitute the year. And so, and he also says that the beginning of the year is the spring equinox, as we call it. He just calls it, the day after spring equinox, that's our new year for us.
Yeah.
And so the reason why we have the sundial is because people will have a hard time saying, well, this is the spring equinox. No, this is the spring equinox. When really, it's better just to test it for yourself.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm so excited about this sundial.
Yeah.
And so we'll probably talk more about it later, but in truth, when you guys study about the Enoch calendar, to me, this is my opinion, but the calendar is it's very flawless, basically. I mean, it doesn't contradict itself, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah. Like you said, go read Enoch. And you know, people, right now, we are running out of time. We're ticking on down. So we all going to say shalom to the next time.
Shalom to the next time.